On Writers and Writing, written by Margaret Atwood and read by Margaret Atwood.
Here are the three epigraphs. As they were all sitting at table, one guest suggested that each of them should relate a tale. Then the bridegroom said to the bride, "Come, my dear, do you know nothing? Relate something to us like the others." She said, "Then I will relate a dream." The Robber Bridegroom, collected by the Brothers Grimm. I must rehearse all of their tales, be they better or worse, or else falsify some of my material. And therefore, whoever doesn't want to hear it, turn over the leaf and choose another tale. Geoffrey Chaucer, The Canterbury Tales. And now, in imagination, he has climbed another planet, the better to look with single camera view upon this Earth, its total scope, and each afflated tick, its talk, its trick, its tracklessness, and this, he would like to write down in a book. A.M. Klein, Portrait of the Poet as Landscape. For the Others. Introduction, Into the Labyrinth. The act of naming is the great and solemn consolation of mankind. Elias Canetti, The Agony of Flies. I still do not know what impels anyone sound of mind to leave dry land and spend a lifetime describing people who do not exist. If it is child's play, an extension of make-believe, something one is frequently assured by people who write about writing, how to account for the overriding wish to do that, just that, only that, and consider it as rational an occupation as riding a bicycle over the Alps. Mavis Gallant, Preface, Selected Stories. Finding yourself in a hole, at the bottom of a hole, in almost total solitude, and discovering that only writing can save you. To be without the slightest subject for a book, the slightest idea for a book, is to find yourself once again before a book, a vast emptiness, a possible book, before nothing, before something like living naked writing, like something terrible, terrible to overcome. Marguerite Duras, Writing. When I was a student of English literature in the early 1960s, we all had to read an important critical text called Seven Types of Ambiguity, 1930. This erudite book, it is astonishing to note, was written by William Empson when he was only 23. It is also astonishing to note that when he was in the full throes of composition, he was expelled from the University of Cambridge for being found with contraceptives in his room. This is a fitting commentary on how we are all stuck in time, less like flies in amber, nothing so hard and clear, but like mice in molasses. Because surely nowadays he would be expelled for being found without contraceptives in his room. The 23-year-old William Empson sounds like a wise and considerate youth, as well as an energetic one, and one who did not give up in the face of discouragement. And so when I was requested to give the Empson Lectures at the University of Cambridge for the year 2000, a series of six, to be delivered to an audience composed not only of scholars and students, but also of the general public, I was more than delighted. Or rather, I was more than delighted when first asked. Such undertakings always seem so easy and pleasant 2 years ahead, but as the time for actually giving the lectures approached, I became less delighted by the day.